Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because... I have a charcoal mask. Great, because why would I put that on my face when I could drop it in my sink? This is what I get for multitasking. Ugh, why is charcoal so sticky?
Hello?
Hey, Janice. I am so sorry. I thought I was on mute. No, we don't need to reschedule. I'll just stay off camera. Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed.
Not in 3 days.
Well, what have you looked at the new duck hole?
Oh yeah, I looked at it.
It looked good.
It's as pretty as a fine woman
combing your hair on the end of your bed. That's the trick to it, boy. Hello, folks. I'm Daniel Boone, and I'm gonna make America great again.
I don't know. He went through about three American icons.
That's it,
really
boy.
Quick.
Hey,
can we start over that first part again?
Oh man,
as pretty as a what?
As pretty as a woman combing her hair, sitting on the end of your bed.
Yeah.
Okay. If she's sitting on somebody else's bed, it don't mean nothing. But if she's sitting on the end of your bed, combing her beautiful hair,
it means you're married.
Then, hey, you got something going on then.
That's what the duck hole looks like?
You reckon Chris Dean's ever looked at the end of her bed and watched you combing your hair and thought the same thing?
No.
I'd like to know the last time he run a comb through his hair.
Hey, I run a comb through my hair every morning, son.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, but it ain't on the end of the bed. It's in the kitchen. That's where my comb's at.
Oh good.
Hey, I'm serious.
Very sanitary. You keep your comb in the kitchen?
I keep it on the bar.
So anybody can use it.
Well, hey, it's just there. Yeah. That's where it's handy. Yeah. Okay.
All right, we'll see y'all next week.
That's it for this podcast.
Daniel Boone. What?
Look, hey. Huh? That's what we grew up on, okay, was catching coons, mink, beaver. You know, we run a trap line for crying out loud when we was kids. That's how we grew up, boys. That's what made America great.
Okay, that's fine.
That's why they settled the West.
Why the hat?
Why the hat?
It's not cold outside.
Because, hey, we just, Philip showed me a picture of it, and I said, hey, order me four of them.
Okay.
I bought one for me, Philip, and then... for the pipeline people, Mr. Randy Byer and his lovely wife, Sharon.
Okay.
And we had them on.
So you're reinvesting in the pipeline.
Yeah.
Well, I can appreciate that.
Oh, well, hey, you know.
That's good.
They're good friends. Okay, so I bought them a Daniel Boone hat.
The only
coonskin cap.
I got to get in the inner circle that gets in on the
coonskin. No, you ain't getting in no inner circle.
I want in the hat that, circle.
The only thing that mildly disturbs me is I didn't realize.
Oh, it just mildly disturbed you?
Well, that I haven't made this observation. It's just how close the color of your hair is to a raccoon.
Well, hey, there you go.
Coon. You okay. Cannot and tell look, the look, ponytail look, from the coon
that's the
tail.
Raccoon. And that's what a little bit I got. Okay?
I mean, it's unbelievable.
Ponytail.
Now, you have got to wear that hat duck hunting this year.
Oh, I am.
Every day.
I'm going to wear it when I go deer hunting. Oh, maybe it'll help me out with my aim since I shot 8 foot over that doe the other day.
I mean, you kind of look like Vladimir, the Russian poker player that retired from the KGB.
Speaking of that,
or something.
Hey, I just won second place over in Houston.
What'd it pay?
It paid two beautiful necklaces for my beautiful redheaded woman.
So no cash?
No cash. But no she got two nice necklaces. One of them was the I can't even think of it. It's green.
Emerald?
Yeah, emerald. Real pretty emerald deal hanging on the end of it.
There you go.
But it was beautiful, and she enjoyed it.
It was a charity tournament, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. It was charity poker tournament, 100 people in it, okay? And then also the golf. Yeah,
how'd
they
play
golf?
How'd you fare? Oh,
I didn't know.
Tournament?
I didn't play golf.
Oh. Didn't play
but
golf.
I did give up the all out there on the golf course. They got about a 5.5-6 hour free concert
from you.
From me, yeah.
Did you give them any tips on a putting green like that time you made that golf video for?
No, I was screaming while they were swinging and everything else. I was there to harass them and have a good time.
And you did it, didn't you?
And I did it. That's exactly right.
See.
Everyone concerned had a blast.
Well, good.
Yep, and raised a lot of money for the kids. That's what it was about.
That's all.
Matter of fact, that bear sitting right there is be an angel. Okay. And that whole thing was for the kids.
Oh, is that what it was, the Be an Angel Foundation?
Yep.
That's cool.
That's one of them. Okay, one of the deals.
That's cool.
But Pastor Rennie, he's in a lot of that stuff. Okay.
Because
he was the Houston Oilers quarterback for quite a while.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait, who?
What was his name?
Dan Pastorini.
I didn't keep up with the Oilers. Yeah. They went to Nashville, in 99 or something, I guess? Oh, all the thing I remember about the Oilers, wasn't it? Warren Moon was their quarterback?
Earl Campbell.
Campbell was running back, yep.
Bum Phillips.
Yep.
Dan Pastorini was the third pick.
He was actually
of the 1971
there.
Draft.
Well, you met?
Yeah.
Bum
Phillips. Oh, yeah. Matter of fact, he was sitting at the table that I played.
I don't think Bum Phillips is alive.
His
son, Wade. Yeah. Wade Phillips.
Okay. Well, it's his
son. Wade Phillips is hilarious.
Yeah.
Well, no. He was one. Okay. When you said Phillips,
son of Bum.
Yeah. Okay. That's what it was. Okay. I never get all
Dan
that.
Dan Pastorini played 13 seasons in the NFL. Yeah. And won a Super Bowl.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
You were hanging.
Big
time.
No. Hey, he was legit now. Don't get run. You know, I had a man could fake quarterback. But it was a real good event.
Off of him.
Raised a lot of money for the children, okay, which that's what was it about. You know, so it was a good, all the way around, good opportunity.
Well, look, hey, we're glad to have you back.
Hey, well, I'm glad
we
to be back.
We did miss you. We had Willie take your place.
Well, no, because, hey, how did that go?
It was great. Well, I quit.
Okay.
We got some news for you.
I quit my job because Willie sat by me for that long.
Uh-oh.
Johnny D's gone.
See ya.
He's gone. Well, hey. Well, I got one question. What are you going to do now?
I'm going to go sell fishing bait, but I'm still going to sit by you.
Okay.
He's going to sell some crickets.
Sell
crickets.
Yeah.
I go down there and visit them once.
They have the greatest sign of all times that I've ever seen at a bait shop. What about those minnows?
Our crickets catch fish or die trying.
That's it.
That's what we do, people.
I like the attitude.
Hey,
go team, go.
That's what we do over there at the old honey. I was there this morning just filling up
you
soft
can find
plastics.
Out a lot of good information at the honey hole.
You really can.
Because the man that runs it, he actually goes out and fishes, so he can give you some good advice.
He used to. Now I don't have no time to fish, which is why I'm going back to let him go fishing.
Hey, if the business has got so good that you had to hire help, yep.
Okay. People are secretive about their fishing spots.
You can't tell nobody.
I've known one man who was telling everybody where it was. Ken Bunn had no problem telling anybody. He was like, no, this is where I caught him.
Well, let me tell you how
about
my brother.
3 weeks after.
That's right.
All right, let me tell you how my brother operates on that.
Tell us.
He took Terry Bradshaw fishing with him one time on Darbone. And the first thing he did when he
blindfolded
got him, tell me, hey, here you go. Put this blindfold on.
No, he didn't.
Yes, he did.
Oh, yeah.
No. He made him put it on.
Look, I was
and Bradshaw said, hold it. You're joking, right? And Phil said, no, son, I'm not joking. If you want to go fishing with me, put the blindfold on. Well, hey, they go up there and they fill a cooler up bass. Okay. And then Phil got cranked the motor. And he sat there for a minute with an island. He said, what are you doing, Bradshaw? And Bradshaw said, what are you talking about? I'm ready. He said, no, you ain't. Put the blindfold on, son.
You know, they inducted Phil into the Louisiana Tech Hall of Fame.
Uh-huh.
A few years ago. I went to that game with him. Bradshaw was there.
I love it.
And they talked for 2 hours. 2 hours before that game. And that story... That specific story,
came
Bradshaw
up.
Brought it up. He said, hey, Phil, remember that time you put that sack over my head? And they laughed about that.
First time Bradshaw was ever sacked. Right there.
Right. Phil Robertson did it. That's right. Phil Robertson sacked him.
Put a blindfold on the
true
man.
Story. Put a potato sack over
potato
his
head. Potato sack over his head.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, you can't let nobody know where to fish over.
Look, here's what I say for Bradshaw. Good on him. Because back in them days, if Phil would have said, I'm put this sack over your head, I'm out. Nope. Because
I wouldn't have went.
He was a little on the unscrupulous side.
Oh, no, yeah. He was one of them. Kay said
he was a rascal.
Rascal, he was one of them scrupulous.
But back in them days.
Rascals.
Next thing you know, there's a cinder block tied to your foot. And, you know, and you ain't the starter no more. Yeah. You know, that kind of thing. Good grief.
But I'm still not letting Phil put a bag over my head and just take me in the woods.
No.
Oh, you can now.
No, I got a rule. I don't ever get in any kind of rig that he's driving.
No.
You just don't do it. Him or his dog.
Well, I missed that one. The morning that they might have sunk both boats.
What?
The boat wreck?
Oh, yeah.
You talking about the boat wreck?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, I wasn't there that morning.
With our friends from Yamaha Motors?
Oh, yeah.
and the motor people were there.
Yeah.
And they like to drown everybody.
Yeah. Oh, they did.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
I hadn't heard that story.
No, I told those boys.
That's during
the
flood.
Flood, well, too. Flood stage.
The Yamaha bigwig showed up down there, and we had big backwater. I said, look, when y'all boys go hunting tomorrow.
Sorry about that.
I said, you got about a 50% chance of surviving.
Man's trying to tell a story. You're choking.
Well, I'm sorry.
I'll fix a sling this thing to that end as hard as I can throw it. Whatever this is.
Hey, well, look, let's tell that story when we get back from break.
Yeah, let's tell it.
We're going to take a break. Don't go anywhere.
We're back. All right, Stone, get back to your story
boat wreck.
Before Tweedledee and Tweedledum.
Yeah, I'll try not to interrupt you.
All right. Are y'all done?
It was him.
No, it was you.
I was laughing at him.
I'm not going to blame anything on him. It was you.
It was
anyways, so these big wigs, they show up down there, and the backwater, I was just kidding with them. I said, well, look, boys, it's just dangerous. It's 20 foot deep. You got a pretty good chance of not coming back. And this was the day before the hunt. You know, they laughed, ha ha, whatever. So the next morning before daylight, if you ever drove around in the backwater when the river's coming up, everything looks different day by day.
That's the truth.
Nothing looks the same. So you'll lose a road, a trail. I don't care how many times you've been down it. When that water level changes, it's totally different.
Yeah.
So they had it backwards. Phil was in the front with the outboard with about three men in it. Jace was in the behind them with a mud motor boat.
Mm-hmm.
It should have been the opposite.
Yeah.
Because that mud motor, you know, he don't got no reverse. And the only way to stop is to take the propeller out of the water.
Or a tree.
Or an immovable object. Or running it up on the bank.
Yeah. Right.
So what happened was before daylight, Phil got turned around. He slammed his boat in reverse, turned it sideways. Jace couldn't stop, and he T-boned Phil's boat with the Yamaha bigwigs in there. And when Phil made an instinctive move and hammered down on that throttle and come out underneath Jace's boat and wheeled out right beside him, and everybody lived to tell the tale. So, once again, do not get in a rig with Phil.
Needless to say, we didn't get the Yamaha deal done.
No. Well, he ain't seen them since.
Yeah. We're not with Yamaha.
Yeah.
In other words, Jason's boat was under on top of Phil?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Because it's a flat-bottom mud boat.
That's right.
It just went right up.
It went right up on it. 20 foot of water.
Whoa. Yeah.
I'm glad there was too many there that morning, and I got left out.
That's right. Your boy Evil Eye was there.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Old Philip still tells that story from Yamaha.
Yeah.
I talked to him this morning. It was good.
The morning I
they
like
still
that
talk
eye.
To us, you know, just yeah. Nah, yeah, we're good. Just,
but no business wise.
They don't want to come back.
Nah. Ain't no business, boy.
Nah. He did say this morning, he said, I think I'm about ready to come back. You know, I was like, you sure?
Yeah. Good luck.
But I remember one morning it was just me and Jace. We passed his deer stand four times. In the dark. He's like, yeah, just I look back and now the deer stand's on this side of me.
Tell me, I know what that is, and he said, what? It's my deer stand.
Yeah. Yeah, we did. Oh. We circled that deer stand four times. Problem is, we're supposed to be on the other end of the property hunting.
Yeah.
Oh, it's tough to navigate.
Oh, it's terrible. Because well, everything looks identical then. Like
the duck hunting's terrible.
Yeah.
The best one was me. I was in field boat, and I said, where's these giant cypress trees? You know, I said, good grief, that thing's, you know, big rounds of pickup at the bottom. We ain't got nothing like that out here toward the duck hole. We was in that slough. Right behind the lodge. We had done got turned around 2 miles above where, you know. No.
We're back at the lair.
Oh, yeah. We're back at the lair. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah. Floodwaters. Hey, floodwaters ain't nothing to be trifled with.
Well, especially if it's foggy.
And okay, we still go duck hunting like we're going to kill something. Yeah. We don't kill squat.
No. You ain't going to kill nothing
of
that.
If you're lucky, you get to shoot a handful of jacks and, you know, that's about it. Stone, what you snacking on?
Oh,
time?
I got.
Oh,
so like finally.
Oh,
somebody sent in some healthy.
Oh,
snacks.
A healthy snack.
There it is.
What is?
And I must say, this is the best beef jerky I ever put in my mouth.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. Huh. I ain't a beef jerky.
Bourgeois man. Cajun beef jerky.
Anything that
bourgeois.
Starts with bourgeois, I'm in on.
From Thibodaux, Louisiana.
Thibodeau boys.
Oh, right. I wish I knew some good.
Hey, you got
Thibodeau
boys. Hey, yeah,
your boy Terry Poole sent that in.
Yep. Right.
I can appreciate that. Is it good?
Oh, it's fine.
I don't want none of it. I just want.
Hey, he don't
smell
want
of it.
Hey, go ahead, try it.
He'll
take some of it.
A product of Louisiana.
Just throw me one piece.
It smells like Louisiana.
Beef jerky is the greatest thing that ever happened.
No, you better not give him none.
I don't know how jerky ever caught on.
Oh, it is.
It's going to break It's going to break his habit.
I guess it's because it's easy and you carry it in your pocket or put it in the saddle bag.
You don't get how beef jerky ever caught on.
Yeah.
It's delicious.
Hey, Josie Wales ate beef jerky.
Thank you.
Right,
Josie Wales ate beef jerky.
Yeah, they eat what to live back in.
Well, good for Josie Wales.
Johnny D, we'd give you a piece
of
that,
jerky,
but,
man.
But you don't work here no more. So you're out. Well, let's take our next break. We'll be back right after.
He had enough of moaning.
Well, Si, did you see the new decoration in the podcast room? Look behind my head.
Oh. Yeah. And the deer?
Yeah, that was our deer hunt during the Veterans Week. Yeah, right. So I had a big, the picture turned out so good. I had a big, canvas blown up. Ooh. And I asked Bullfrog, I said, where you want me to put it? You want to put it up in the house or in the call shop? She said, put it in the podcast room so Uncle Si can see it all the time.
I
thought, you know, she wanted to do that so Uncle Si could remember that good memory. And she said, no, I want him to see it so he can remember that day I scrapped him.
No, I knew what she wanted. I wanted him to be reminded.
Well, Si, we were going to put a picture of your deer up back there, but, well, we saw that, remember?
Yeah.
Yeah, y'all did put it up.
There it is.
Yeah, there it goes, running off.
Yeah, there.
There she goes, that way.
There it goes.
Yeah, that deer's fine.
I've got pictures of that doe he shot at. Every picture I got of her, she's doing this.
Just
her
looking
her
around.
Her eyes are real big, and she's staring at that deer stand.
She's staring at that deer stand.
I'm trying to find.
Where did that come from?
I'm trying to find the video again.
What video?
Of Si
missing that deer.
They done seen it.
It makes me laugh every day.
It is.
Hey, no thought process there. It was like, hey, he died because he's no brain. There's no brain wave.
Si said, I sent that to Dr. Deans. He got real tickled. He said that made his day.
Oh, man.
He's wanting to know if he was drinking any of that brown water while he was up there.
Is that what you was going to talk about?
Huh?
What you just had on there?
Well, yeah, I just had it ready for.
Well, hey, we'll talk about it then.
Whenever you want to talk about it.
Go ahead. Fire away.
Fire away. Okay. Well, I was looking in the news, and Stone actually texted me this one the other night.
Oh, yeah.
Said we need to talk about this on the podcast because it happened in Shreveport,
ooh,
our neighboring town to the West. Took a second. But the article is about concerned dads patrol high school and fights suddenly end.
Imagine that.
People started going to class. Did you see this story?
Mm.
So there were 23 kids arrested at school.
Southwood, Shreveport.
Over 3 days.
They were arrested at school?
Yeah, for getting in fights. Yeah. There were just fights left and right.
Okay.
And so then Michael Lafitte, that's a Louisiana name, started a group called Dads on Duty, and 40 fathers signed up and took shifts at the high school to maintain a peaceful environment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The power of a dad.
Well, that's right. Question. That's right.
What was the fights about? Oh. Does anybody say anything about that?
I don't know. I'm sure it was just kids being kids.
Yeah.
I don't know. 23.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot of fights.
Yeah, that ain't kids being kids.
Well, it makes you, well, I don't even want to go down that road.
It's the circumstances of today's society.
Yeah. Okay. Well, even at West Monroe, it was, hey, just go bear crawl till I get tired of watching you.
We had to do lunges.
Man, if you got caught doing something like that, you're going to bear crawl till I'm tired.
Yeah.
That was like, you're like, oh.
Okay, man. That sounds like the time when Big Oaf said, drop, give me 25.
Yeah. Oh, Big Oaf.
Okay, hey, I'll wipe that off. I'll wipe that smile off your face. Well, he did. Mm-hmm. 300 letter.
There you go.
Well, so it took 40 dads at the school.
Yeah.
To shut her down.
Going on shifts. So there's only a couple dads. But one of the students said, you know, have you ever heard of The Look?
Mm-hmm.
So apparently there's just a couple dads, and when things get ratty, they just give them the whole.
That one you used to get in church.
Show Martin a picture of the dads. I saw a picture of them, and a couple of them are pretty intimidating guys.
Intimidating guys?
Big, strong men.
Even at that age.
Yeah, I mean,
but even
if they give me the look, if this group of dads tells me to stop doing something, I'm done.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's awesome.
That is awesome. That was one of the
that's what I would just
best
say.
Articles
hey,
I've seen
great.
In a while.
Great for the dad.
Well, odds are what they're doing by being at school is because the dads at home wasn't doing what they're supposed to be doing.
That's right.
So the article does.
Dads showed up there. And,
that's true. Yeah.
And showed that they cared. And, you know, I mean, that's a good deal. That's awesome.
And also, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but they're trying to start chapters
statewide
and nationwide. And I think, obviously, it's a good thing.
Yeah.
I would be so nervous if Stone showed up to my school and gave me the look. Like that one right there.
Well, no.
Is he sitting there doing his grip workout?
No.
I would behave, though, and that is true. And that's what they said. They told CBS, not everybody has a father figure at home or a male, period, in their life.
Yep.
So just to be here makes a big difference, which I do think.
Yeah, that's cool. I mean, that's awesome. They're taking the time to invest in kids' lives that aren't their own. So that's a cool thing. Yeah, and there were some of them. Yeah, you could tell the look in their eyes. You didn't want to mess with them.
I'm afraid of
that. That's like that old Clint Eastwood eyes. How'd you know which one going to shoot first?
Yeah.
Well, he had crazy eyes.
Crazy eyes.
You look a man in the eyes, he'll tell you enough about him right there.
That's it.
You know which dad you make and cross and which one you can't. But
if he says, I don't want no trouble, and he's smiling at the same time, stay away.
You about to get in trouble. Somebody about to cloud up and rain on it. But that's good. It's good that they took ownership of it and didn't expect somebody else to fix the problem. I can appreciate that.
Yeah, that did my heart some good to see that article, you know.
So, dads on duty, we salute you.
Oh, for
sure. Do.
We need more of that.
Absolutely.
Yep. It is sad that people don't have, you know, the male figures in their life.
Yeah.
That is the devil's doing, boys.
Yeah, because it shows how important that is to have that.
Like, he's the one that attacked the family structure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, the family structure is under attack.
Oh, yeah.
Don't ever doubt that. Yep. It gets worse every year.
Yep.
Well, in another case of good news, y'all have seen the movie Radio, right?
I haven't.
You haven't seen Radio?
No, I haven't seen it.
I have.
It's a fantastic movie. It tells a story about a guy working at a high school, does it for free, and finally the real life radio on October the 29th is getting the field house named after him at that school in Demopolis, Alabama.
Oh, okay.
So they are rewarding. You know, the movie is radio. They all call him Canned Good back home. Don't really know why, but that man has volunteered at that school, washing clothes, doing all that kind of stuff for 50 years. 50 years volunteer, no pay.
No pay.
He's seen 8 coaches, 386 victories, 78 playoff appearances.
Whoa.
22 region titles and 2 state championships. And he is now, the field house is being named after him. His name's Albert Thomas. Albert, good on you, son.
Excellent job, sir.
The town of Demopolis,
yeah.
Good on you for taking care of one of your own. Look at him.
There we go.
That's awesome.
Hey.
There's a few pictures.
He's 67 years old, and he's still doing it.
Wow.
Still, oh, there's a Black Panther, Si.
Hey. It's a tiger.
Hey, kudos, coach. Hey.
Oh, man. Can you imagine volunteering for 5 decades?
He's missed 1 game.
1 game.
1.
Yeah.
50 years.
So, Albert.
I can't even imagine being alive that long.
Look, Albert, our man, we salute you on that too, man. Good on you.
And so does the Almighty, because hey, you've done what he said.
I got a servant's
heart. You loved the Almighty, and then you turned around and loved your fellow man.
That's awesome. Okay. It's good to read that kind of stuff going on in the world, because so many times those articles don't ever make it to the top.
No. It's all
something about some guy named Brandon, and all that kind of stuff going on.
Yeah, but gas prices.
Gas prices.
And the weather.
Hey, now, well, I'm glad. Look, speaking of weather, we're getting rain finally. Praise God for that. That's all I'm going to say.
I'm going to have to start bringing my wife's Honda hunting. It's ridiculous.
Or just staying down there?
Good grief.
We've been on gas prices for a minute.
Ooh,
I quit the other day filling up. I just stopped. I was like, I can't do this anymore. It's making me sad.
Oh, you done went on that Gember bag?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have to stop again before I run out of gas?
Put $10 in like you did in high school?
No, I got the 50 this time, and I was like, I got to give up. We're not even close. I have to get gas on my way home now because of that. But I was sad. It was too expensive.
It was sad.
And people are wondering, I wonder why gas prices are going up.
Well, if you wouldn't run it down so low. You wouldn't have to. It wouldn't take so much to fill it up. Stop and fill up when you got 3/4 of a tank. Right. Feels better.
It feels better.
It don't feel as bad.
It's
like whenever you're driving to the duck hole. If you go really fast when it's cold, when you stop, it feels warm.
Yeah.
If you go as fast as you can stand it, when you stop, it feels
it's
warm.
It's all about perception.
Yeah.
About your perspective of it, boys.
That's deep there. That kind of thinking only comes out from under a coonskin cap.
That's right.
I told you, make America great again.
That's an expensive coonskin hat.
Let's reopen that pipeline, boy.
All right, well, let's take a break. We'll be back right after this.
You know what chaps my rear end? About more than anything.
You know what makes me so angry? I just...
No, who said
tell us
Earl
what really...
Earl Pitts.
Remember Earl Pitts? Native American redneck.
What really grinds your gears there, Stone?
When I'm driving down the road, and all I can see in the ditches is trash.
Trash is a problem.
What kind of human will throw trash out the window? It's beyond me. And do it on purpose.
Yeah.
Now, I can understand if you got something in the back of your truck and it flies out, okay.
Everybody's given a time to forget about something in the back of your truck. You forget that the empty box is there or whatever. You built your child's swing set and there's an empty box. I give you a free pass. You forgot on your way to work it was there. But, like, drink cups and crap like that, beer cans.
Yep.
Why any is it kind always can? Beer cans in the
mattress?
Because we're in North Louisiana.
You never see a Coke can in the middle of the woods.
Well, mattress. No, they ain't spending their money on that.
Yeah,
what you get from
a mattress. Or you drive and there's a couch in the ditch.
I tell you, the worst place in the world is boat ramps.
Oh, yeah.
People think that the good thing to do is to dump all your trash out at the boat ramp for whatever unknown reason. Every time I go... I pick up a dang Walmart sack full of trash at the boat ramp every time, whether it's Nightcrawler boxes, some kind of discount light domestic beer can.
Yeah, it's never even the expensive beer.
No,
you're right.
Some weird colored water bottle that I'm not sure what that is in it. Like, I pick it up with a bag.
Yeah. On the outside. I hope you have like the grabbers.
No, but I do fishing line for crying out loud. Like, I mean, just pick your stuff up, people. And this time of year, deer corn.
Yeah, deer corn.
Everywhere you go. Not to be confused with squirrel corn or turkey corn. It's all deer corn for some reason. They're the only things that'll eat it, I guess.
I'll eat it.
But, I mean, it's just rice bran bags. Just take care of your stuff, people.
Pick your thing.
I mean, how lazy and pathetic does a person have to be to do something like that?
To throw something out the window?
Just throw trash out the window into creation.
And they won't dare shoot the target on the back of the deer corn bag.
Yeah,
but they'll shoot every street sign between there and the hunting camp to make sure that it's sighted in.
That's $1 million plus every year for the state of Louisiana.
Street signs?
Doing street signs over.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay.
They missed that. Rednecks.
No. Well, what happens
that's
is they,
where, hey, that's where your taxes are going.
What happens is they shot like you on camera, and then they got to check it to make sure they can still hit a 4x4 square because, you know, that's how big a deer's vitals are. No. It's like,
what is it about a sign that makes a redneck want to shoot it?
I don't know. It's I've never shot
but
a
there
sign.
There is not a sign. Once you get out of the city limits, there is – I charge you to find one sign
that doesn't have a bullet hole in it.
That's right. Within 5 square miles of Phil's house that does not have a bullet hole.
Oh, within Phil's house? No,
I charge you to find one that has a bullet hole in it.
Yeah.
Just one.
Yeah.
Because most of them got
multiples.
11.
Yeah. Multiples. Yeah.
I mean, it's like, what? And then the people that pattern their shotguns
the
on.
Part. Yeah. They're shooting street signs.
Oh, I know it.
Okay. Hey, I might be driving down that road. And hey, guess what? If a bullet whizzes by me, I'm sending one back.
That's it. You get a return.
Yeah, you get a. This is return to sender, Jack.
look, on the last one, we talked about Johnny D leaving. We didn't get in
let's
our
get off of that,
but we didn't get in our inbox. So we got a few sitting in the inbox. Johnny
I got
D,
extras.
What we have in the hello@duckcallroom.com.
Yeah, let's stop talking about me. So our first email, the subject line is Johnny D, the hero I did not know I needed. So we're gonna read that one.
Oh,
obviously,
yeah.
Well, of course, we'll shocker,
suffer. We'll
shocker.
We'll suffer through it, Johnny.
No.
Read it.
You can be self-serving. That's fine.
That is the subject line. The actual thing is about Stone. This man's a 38-year-old Army vet, and he spent 9 years in law enforcement. Alan, we appreciate you for both of those jobs.
Yes, amen.
But he's been working at a desk, and he was about my size. And Stone getting on top of me and making me work out so much has inspired him, and now he has joined his own House of Pain in South Carolina. So he's he sent this email on his way to his first boxing workout. Sir, I hope you made it. I remember my first boxing workout when Stone almost murdered me. But I thought that was a cool email, and people, you know,
changing lives.
I like when people are fired up and doing what we're doing.
Oh. Changing lives.
It
that's
makes
awesome.
Me happy. So
I mean, he will not regret it. Stick with it, man. Stick with it.
I want to go punch something right now. All right, moving on. Jimmy from Tennessee has a couple questions about the Bible. Do you know anything about the Bible, Si?
Well, just a little bit.
All right, let's go.
He'll have to check it out.
He used to attend church, but when he was a kid, grew older, stopped going, and now he's about 25 years old. He's always believed in God, but he's about to get married. He's engaged, so he's about to get married. He's, you know, kind of deciding it's time to step up and lead his family. But he says, I feel the Bible is so vast with knowledge, and it seems overwhelming to me at times. I was wondering, what is a good starting point?
I got one for you, okay, because I'm in the process right now of getting some lessons together for a gospel meeting I got coming up. Ephesians 6:12, okay, and it goes something like this. Our struggles is not against flesh and blood, okay, but the powers, the rulers, and the authorities, and something about evil. I can't remember exactly about it. Okay?
Against the powers of the dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms.
Yeah, in the heavenly realms. So, okay, that's where you start. Okay, take an inventory of what's going on in your life and what you got, what you're up against. Okay, and the first one is, hey, you're up against evil forces, power, okay, in the heavenly realms. Okay, it's not against flesh and blood. So we're fighting some powerful stuff here. So guess what? You better have your own, your power or someone else's power to fight this with. And the power I'm talking about is Jesus, okay? He's the ultimate power. Him, the Father, and the Holy Spirit. But my advice was don't let, because the Bible's got 66 books, okay? And that's a lot of territory to cover. So my deal is, hey, just pick one of the New Testament books, okay? One of them would probably be good. Find out who Jesus is. That'd be Matthew.
Yeah.
A lot of good parables.
That's where I always tell people to start that are confused. Just start in the New Testament. Yeah. Start at Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Yep. Work your way through that. And then, because if you're not familiar with that really and truly, the first part's not going to make a whole lot of sense to you. Because the Old Testament is all kind of pointing towards Jesus is coming.
Yep, mm-hmm. History.
You know,
yep.
And then you got the Gospels while Jesus is here. And then you got the rest, which is Jesus is coming back. So that's like you need to know the man Jesus before you can tie the whole thing in.
Yep.
And if you don't start there, to me, you can go back down that road to them names with 27 consonants, and you're going to get lost in them genealogy trees back here.
That's it. You start with the gospel, then you end with the gospel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. That's the key, okay? You never get off the gospel. But like he was talking about, Martin, okay, Genesis to Malachi, Jesus is coming, okay? He's being foretold. He's on his way. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus is here on this earth. Then the rest of it is, okay, hey, he's done what he was supposed to do. He's coming back to get us.
Yeah.
Amen.
He's going to. That's one of my favorite thing Galvin says in all of his whenever he's talking about that. He says, now he said he was going to prepare a place for us. He said he spoke this world into existence. He said, but now he's preparing a place. He says, so imagine how cool that's going to be that he's preparing
and
us a place.
He spoke that one in 7 days. He's been gone for about 2,000 years.
Well, no. Yeah. Here's the thing that gets me about that, okay, and this is just my opinion, okay? When he created all of this, okay, guess what? It says that in my Father's house are many rooms. I've go to prepare you a place for it. Okay, hey, it's already, when he created it, the heavens and the earth.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? Hey, his house was created. His room, my room is reserved. Okay. All I got to do is keep my faith and my eyes on him.
Yeah.
And one day I will get to go in my room.
Amen. Okay? Well, let's take our last break. We'll be back. Get back in that mailbag right now.
We got some more good ones.
All right, let's get back in that mailbag, Johnny D.
What else you got, Johnny?
We have sent a lot of people to Bucky's, by the way. people keep going.
And for all of y'all, you're welcome.
Sent that pastrami sandwich in. Specifically wanted me to tell you, Martin, that is the pastrami Reuben. That's Ryan from, he's a Cajun. Yeah. Larouville.
Lauraville.
Is not how you spell Laura. Yeah. but he said, get off that brisket bag and get on that Reuben bag.
Brian, here's where me and you got a fundamental disagreement.
Uh-oh, Brian. Ryan, sorry.
Ryan. I don't do sauerkraut.
But this is
at all.
Oh, you don't like it?
I would eat that sandwich.
No, I don't like sauerkraut. I don't like Sour Patch Kids. If it's got sour in it, I don't like whiskey sours. If it's got sour in it, I'm out.
You're out.
Your boy.
Yeah. I like sour.
I'm with you on
your
that.
Your boy's out. So there you go. Sorry, Brian. All right. But hey, anyway, we're all entitled to opinion. God bless America.
And then Jeremy from Lake Alfred, Florida, sent this email in with the subject line, very upset at Cy! Exclamation point. About eight of them.
Oh.
How could you be upset at Si?
What are you upset with me for?
He must have been duck hunting with you.
I'm very upset to hear that Si likes steaks medium plus.
Oh, yeah.
But
oh.
That is not a real temperature. I'm a chef, and when I hear that, I just shake my head.
I beg your pardon, Mr. Chef. That is a temperature. Okay? It's a little past medium, okay? Medium is blood bleeding from the meat.
Nope.
I want mine a little less than, a little more cooked than that. Okay.
He literally
so it's
says,
light pink.
When we hear that, it's like people saying, I would like medium rare, but no blood, please.
Well, no. That's why I said medium plus. Because, hey, if you say well done, you're going to get a piece of boot leather.
He does agree with
I've done tried this for, 73 years, okay? Medium plus works. They actually bring it to me where the middle of the steak, where regardless of what thickness it is, it's light pink in the middle.
He's been eating steak for 73 years, and he still
don't
know how to eat.
How come out of the womb eating steak, Jack?
Yeah. So those are some fun ones. And then I got a kind of a serious one from Matt out of Sioux City, Iowa.
Oh, the heartland.
Yeah. Oh, the heartland. This is a heavy question, kind of. Would you mind posing this to the group of experts? They're not here, so we'll have to do.
Yeah, we'll have to do.
He's a father of three adult kids, 23, one passed away, but he would have been 25.
Sorry about that.
And then 28. They've been to church their whole lives. They raised their family in church. Their kids, however, have kind of lost that mentality, I guess is the right word. It's been difficult for them after losing a brother. Mm. And then, all of 2020 happened and some churches were closed and online church. So he's trying to get his kids back in church. So he asked this question. Is it fair to cancel gift exchange this year at Christmas instead of celebrating Christmas with the kids that aren't following Jesus? Is it being hypercritic to celebrate Christmas with non-believers or people that aren't on the road to salvation? I love them, but I still want to lead a Christian household.
Well, let me say this. What if you've planted the seed,
mm-hmm.
one day that seed will sprout. It might take 1 year, 5 years, 10, 20 years. Who knows?
Yeah.
But if you planted the seed, you did your job.
Amen.
And don't ever stop celebrating Christmas under no circumstances.
With your kids.
Amen.
With your kids. So that's what I got.
It almost is, to me, sounds like they are forgetting a parable of the 99 and the one.
Yeah.
They're willing to leave the one or the two because they're not part of the 99. The one or the two are the ones you should be concerned about and spending the most time with.
Yeah.
And show them the love of Jesus.
That's kind of my point.
Through whether it's gift exchange, it's food, it's meals, it's prayers, it's just time together. Like, I think, I ain't trying to be mean. I think you're dead wrong on whatever your premise you've proposed here is. I couldn't personally disagree with it more.
Yes. Yeah. So my advice was going to be you should do the exact opposite of what you're thinking, because you're not going to see these people at church, your kids. You're not going to see them there, you said. So why not have the best Christmas you've ever had?
Ratchet it up a notch.
And they'll be there for that, and they'll see. Because honestly, I think a lot of people who don't get what we're all about as Christians don't get it because they don't have a loving father. So if you show them a loving earthly father, no matter the circumstance, no matter what they're doing, because it's already in the Bible, no matter, we can't screw this up enough for God to say, nope, canceling my gift to you, Jesus. He already gave it to us. No matter what we do, we can't escape that gift.
The price has been paid. Yeah.
So I would say, your job as a father, and I've got super young kids, so I'm not an expert, but I would say your job is to show them the love of the Father, no matter the circumstance. And right. if they're doing wrong, you tell them they're doing wrong, but you still have to show them that love.
Well, Jesus said this to his audiences when he walked this earth. Okay. You will know my disciples by their love for one another.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the only thing, if your children you think have gone astray, you've got to do what Jesus does for us every day.
Come back and get them.
Come back and get them.
Come back and get them.
Okay. Because, hey, you know, the God only gave mankind, in my humble opinion, two major commands. One of them is love him with everything you've got. Okay. And then the other one is turn around and then love those around you.
Amen.
Okay. Because if we would just do them two, this would be a much better place.
The rest of them take care of themselves.
Yeah,
don't they?
Everything else will kind of fall in line with that. Okay. So anytime you see a person in trouble, okay, and you don't stop and help him, okay, you're wrong.
That's right.
Okay, and hey, look, we're all guilty of it at one time or another. Okay, yeah. But, you know, you need to put that in the back of your mind. Anytime you can help another human being that needs help, you should do it.
You know? Yeah.
I'm guilty of it myself. Sometimes we get too busy. Yeah. Sometimes we, you know, other things take priority.
And not to mention the fact that kids, teenagers, young adults in these days having to grow up with all this social media, all this peer pressure, the vulgarities and just trash all over the internet. Like, I cannot imagine being a teenager having to deal with all of that and come up living a Christ-like, being a Christ-like example. I mean, it's super, super hard for teenagers and young people.
It's way different than whenever I was a teenager, and I was a teenager 10 years ago. Yeah.
So if you planted that seed will sprout one day. Don't
That's
ever
biblical.
Doubt
it. Yep. It says it right there. Train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. He might get away for a second, but he'll always come back.
That's right.
Yep.
All right. Well, those were good. Ema, do we have time for another? Or I don't know how much you're in charge of this, Mark.
Yeah, run one more. Let's see what else we got.
All right, let's see.
I ain't ready to quit. This is fun.
No.
Yeah. Hey.
We don't.
This is not only fun. This is important.
Yeah.
The country needs to hear.
Do you want another heavy one?
Sure.
Go for it.
Send us out on one.
Send us out on a heavy one. This one literally says, I don't want to bring the mood down. So,
you ain't going to bring our mood down.
Greg from Louisville, Kentucky. He does what our good friend McMillan does. He takes great pride in that.
He takes leftovers on a plane?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
For a living. He works with Youth Residential Services. But he really wants to ask Martin specifically, and anyone else who has lost their dad, advice. It's a dad episode. He lost his dad just over 3 years ago, and I was wanting to know how you kept the faith. While there's absolutely no doubt in my mind that my dad is up there fishing with Jesus, and I know he is no longer in any pain, I still find myself angry sometimes. After a few minutes, I come back down. I know it's wrong, and I know it's something that I want to happen, but it does, and I need it to stop.
Yeah.
So getting upset.
Yeah, I mean, I don't. Through this whole deal, I don't think I've ever been angry. I mean, I guess you come to the realization, especially as a believer, we're all gonna die. Like that's an inevitable part of life. Maybe I would have been angry had I not felt like my dad did exactly what he wanted to while he was on this earth, but he did. I mean, he went out with his dang boots on, like, you know, working in the yard essentially up until he couldn't. Like, I mean, he did those things, but I've been sad because, like, he ain't there, but angry, that's not one, but I don't have really big anger issues anyway. So I don't know exactly how to tell you to deal with anger other than it seems like you got a little bit of a trust issue here, but your dad was always going to pass. You yourself, what it made me actually do was look at my own mortality, like, and say, if this happened to me tomorrow, would I be happy with what I've done to this point? Like, and so that challenges me to live a better life, to do more things for other people, just like we talked about earlier. So I guess the anger probably comes from that place, or perhaps some selfishness that we all deal with. But man, just trust in it. And the cool thing is, if you do believe that he's up there, then you should strive to get to be back together one day. Yeah. Like, anger should be the last thing in your heart. Like, the hope of getting back together and that great reunion should take precedent over anything else, which I'm looking forward to. I mean, that's at the end of the day, that's all you got.
Well, let me throw in my deal, okay? I've lost my mom, my dad. Me and Phil are the last two, okay? Mom and dad had 7 kids. Me and Phil the last ones, okay? You need to figure out, okay, you said you was angry about something. You need to figure out what you're angry about, okay? Because if you're blaming God for taking him or letting him go, okay, that's an entirely different issue. I loved what you said, though. You said, I know where he's at, and he's at peace. Okay, that's why it doesn't bother me. Look, death, to me, is nothing but a change of address. Okay, I'm here on this earth right now. When I die, I wish I could put something like, hey, don't stand here at this stone, sitting in this dirt. I'm not here. Amen. Okay. I'm in heaven, and what I'm surrounded by? The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, brotherly love. Everything is good, and I've got goosebumps all over me. Everything up there is grand, okay? We have no idea how great it's going to be. But, hey, your father, if you said, okay, he's up there, man, hey, that's the greatest thing, like Martin said, hey, your goal should be, hey, I'm going to get up there and I'm going to be with him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You're talking about a reunion.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? Look, all the angels in heaven bust out in song when somebody comes home. Okay? Yeah. They throw a party, okay? And I can't wait to be up there when all of us get back together.
Yeah. I'm excited.
Yeah, no. I got
a question. What do you want us to put on your headstone?
Huh?
Here lies Uncle Si. He ain't here no more.
He ain't here, boys.
Well, no, because look.
I'm putting that hat there.
No. Here's the greatest thing. If you ever go to Virginia, Plymouth Rock up there, okay? Go through the graveyards, okay? And I loved it when I walked through there and read what was on all of them. Don't cry for me. All I'm doing, I'm waiting for the resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
That's what was on a 500 of them headstones.
Okay. We may get Si taxidermied anyway.
Yeah.
That's right. Way we can keep it.
You want a European man or
no, that y'all getting a little too weird.
I'll put on your headstone. Here lies Si. He never flared a duck.
I'm
just gonna put.
He's
invisible, hey.
Boys.
No. Hey.
I love it. And I'll end it with this, and then I got a verse for us. All those people that have gone before us, I've got a few up there. They wouldn't come back and hang out with me if they could.
Absolutely.
They're having a way better time.
They're trying to pull on that string to get us up there quicker. Yeah. I guarantee you. They're like, hey, you ready?
Yep. It's time.
Come on.
Go.
Get them up here.
Go. I'm ready to see them, but I ain't going down to that earth anymore.
Yeah. Forget that.
So here's our Bible verse for the day from Grace, 18 years old in Oconto, Wisconsin. She would love it if we could end one of our podcasts with her favorite Bible verse. Guess what, Grace? You're going to love this. Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Amen. We'll see y'all next time. Right here. This is Not Unashamed. Don't let today fool you.
Hey, so. Not Unashamed, but boys, we kind of brought it.